our town.
Hello, neighbors, and welcome back to Nightmare Town. We are Betty Boom.
And I'm Mandemonium.
And I just wanted to give Manda a shout out here because she did phenomenal while I was gone. Thank you so much for covering that episode. If you guys haven't gone and listened to our three Nazi killer, or what was it that you had it written down?
Nazi killing trio.
Yes. It's fascinating. Like, I didn't know that, and I know a lot of things about World War II, so
kudos. I didn't either, and stumbled across it and was like, well, that's the subject for the solo pod, because that's really entertaining.
It was.
Anyway, so I hopefully entertained it. Y'all.
I definitely enjoyed it, so you did so good.
Thank you. I tried.
And for the people that messaged me and just sent out the good vibes and whatnot, I do very much appreciate it. It was very similar with Manda, but I lost two loved ones back to back, like in the course of like 3 days. So been hanging with the Boons and it really sucked because like they were both on my dad's side and my dad wound up getting COVID and happening to quarantine.
That's rough.
So, on top of everything that happened. So, yeah, just wanted to say a quick thank you to everybody. You're so very sweet, and we love you.
Yes, you guys are wonderful.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're going to get away from that sad, because we're not dealing with it, and we'll talk about that in therapy.
We're just going to deflect right now.
Compartmentalize like a motherfucker. Anyway, this week we are doing... Say it.
Say it.
Moist. Thank you, whichever Monium sent that in. Guys, we really need you to send in ideas for the hat because we only have one Monium episode left.
Yes.
But thankfully, that Monium episode will happen. And then the next episode after that will be our Halloween special.
Woo!
By the time you hear this, it will be October. And it's coming, guys. It's so close.
I mean, spooky season technically already starts in September for us, but...
I know, but
official
still,
spooky season.
It's like my neighbors have put up all of their annoying, over-the-top decorations that I'm jealous of.
I would be jealous, too. I was just thinking how I need some more yard decorations. I don't have near enough.
Same. I saw my Aunt Rhonda sent me this really awesome picture. And it's this house that it has, like, skeletons popping out of the ground and, like, climbing on the house. And so if anybody wanted to make a donation of a real or fake skeleton, I'm not going to DNA test them or ask where you got them. But, slide into my DMs because I need a lot of skeletons.
I still want one of those 6-foot skeleton guys that are impossible to get.
There's a house that I pass on my way to school. 4 times a week, or like 4 days a week. It's more than 4 times. It's 8 times. It's 8 times a week, 4 days
a week. Too much.
A lot. I do a lot of the driving, but they have two.
What?
Two. It's just selfish. Jealous. They should give me one.
That is selfish.
I'll keep it up year round, and his name will be Franklin. I don't know why, that's just what it's going to be.
Hey, it's Franklin.
No.
That was like one of my favorite shows as a kid.
Your childhood wasn't great. I'm sorry.
I mean, at least it wasn't Caillou.
Oh my god, that's true.
Could be much, much worse.
All right, so we are covering Moist. And thankfully, Moist. At the end of this episode, we will never have to say that word again.
Oh my god, thank goodness.
But anyway, guys, it is my week to start. And I'm just gonna jump right in because the story that I've chosen is kind of sad and kind of dark, kind of scary, and it's perfect for this episode.
Well, all right, sounds great.
So, jumping straight into this, do you know anything about the Black Death?
A little bit, yes. But I don't know if I'm ready to hear about Black Death relating to moistness.
It's fine. It's fine.
But let's hear it.
Okay. So the Black Death was the beginning of the second plague pandemic, the first being the Great Famine of 1315 and through 1317, but that is a story for another day. The plague created major upheaval all over Europe and left a large dark mark on history, is what I wrote like 3 weeks ago. But yeah, all right, I'm just going to go in through my thing and then I'll tell you how it relates to Moist. The origins of the Black Death is disputed, but the general idea is that it was mostly... I wrote mostly likely.
That works.
Yeah, mostly likely.
Just roll with it.
The origins of the Black Death is disputed, but the general idea is that it was mostly likely carried by fleas living on black rats that traveled on slave ships. There is evidence that once it came ashore, the Black Death was spread by the fleas, which caused pneumonia, plague, and from person to person through the air. It was estimated to have killed 30 to 60% of the European population, and it might have reduced the world population from 475 million to 350 to 375 million people in the 14th century. There were further outbreaks throughout the late Middle Ages, and with other contributing factors, the European population did not regain its population levels until the 1500s. Outbreaks of the plague reoccurred around the world until the early 19th century. So, I mean, we're right in the middle of a plague, so, you know, maybe go get your vaccinations so it doesn't go on for a few centuries. I'm just saying. This one is actually, I think it's a lot worse than COVID because the symptoms of the disease are horrible. And if you don't want to know about it, skip ahead. And I'm sorry, Amanda. You have to listen to it.
It's all right. I'll keep my earpiece in just for you.
No, thank you. I love you. The symptoms included a fever between 100 and 106 degrees Fahrenheit, headaches, painful aching joints, seizures, pustule oozing boils on the groin, neck, and armpits, and vomiting blood. Those that contracted the bubonic plague and were left untreated, 80% of them died within 8 days of contracting the disease. Some even had freckle-like spots and rashes, which could have been caused by flea bites, were identified as another potential sign of the plague. One of the places that was hit pretty hard was Mary King's Close in Edinburgh, Scotland. Closes is the Scottish word for an ancient alleyway. Mary King's Close is a labyrinth of frighteningly narrow streets punctuating Edinburgh's High Street and Royal Mile, named after Mary King, an affluent merchant and widow residing in the building from around 1635 onward. So this is how it relates to Moist. It was essentially a bunch of houses on top of each other. It was one of the first known skyscrapers, quote unquote. But it, well, we need to actually look at how Edinburgh was set up at the time to figure that part out. So basically it was sitting at a slant with Edinburgh Castle sitting at the top and then everything else going downhill from there. And so that means like all the rainwater and everything else went down into this area. And this was also like underground. So it was very damp place.
Was it damp?
It was moist.
All right.
And there wasn't indoor plumbing at the time. So everyone used chamber pots. And when the pot was full, you would just open the window, give a shout, and then toss it out into the street. Yeah, bless the poor soul. Poor, poor soul that happened to be walking in the wrong place at the wrong time. And bleh. Bleh. But from there, everything just ran downhill. And those pots weren't just filled with urine and fecal matter, but also the bloody vomit that I mentioned earlier from people who already had the plague. So this was literally just out in the streets. People were stepping in it. It was rolling down into the close. It was just not a good time for anybody. But in 1645 was when the worst of the plague hit Mary King's Close, and instead of helping the poor people, the Edinburgh government basically decided that they could just write them off and leave them there to die. And they started dropping like flies. That is until a plague doctor named Dr. George Ray, garbed in traditional plague doctor's attire, the long, thick leather coat to prevent the fleas from biting him, and the spooky bird-like mask stuffed with sweet-smelling herbs to conceal the repugnant stench and germs, came along. He saved so many lives, but the means in which he did so sounded like pure torture to me. He would take a hot white poker and then stab it into the center of the boils, essentially cauterizing the wound.
Then,
yeah, it hurt me. It hurt my insides. Because like those boils were like on people's groins.
Yeah.
And their armpits. And I don't know if anyone's ever like pinched you under the armpit, like in the armpit, but it fucking hurts. So bad.
Thin skin there.
Uh-huh. And then the people would be quarantined in their homes, and when they were running out of food or coal, a white cloth was hung outside, and then supplies were delivered to their doorstep. And this stopped the spread of the plague, and it essentially was fixing things. So Dr. Ray did his fucking job. And after it was all said and done, he went back to the council that had hired him, expecting to get paid. And so, like, when the council had sent Dr. Ray into Mary King's Close, they had promised him that if he were to succeed in curing the victims, that they would pay him 1,200 Scots per year. But they were totally thinking that he was going to walk straight to his death and that they wouldn't have to pay him. So he had to take them to court. And for the next decade, that's what he did. And he eventually came out victorious and they paid him his money for a job well done. So this next part is straight from an article from ontheloose.com. It was beautifully written, and it was way better than anything I could come up with because I am currently driving an hour and a half to school 4 days a week. I'm driving 3 hours a day there and back.
Yuck.
And there are some days that I go from school to work and then home and bed. So I've not been very creative lately.
That's all right.
Yeah. But, so yeah, this is verbatim. This is not mine. You can't sue me. I gave credit. During the 17th century, Edinburgh's old town was suffering from major overcrowding. The walls, which had been built around the edge of the city to protect its residents, meant that there was no space for it to expand outwards. So, instead, as the population grew, houses were packed in more and more tightly and grew upwards to 8 stories high. A web of narrow side streets called closes led off the Royal Mile, which were locked up at each end at night to keep undesirables out. The richest people lived at the top floors where the buildings got the most light and the least stench of sewage, and the poorest lived in the dark, squalid ground floors, penned in with cattle and open sewers outside their front doors. Most of Edinburgh's closes were demolished or redeveloped into offices or apartments over the years, but Mary King's Close had a different fate. The 17th century city authorities were worried about losing trade in Edinburgh's new town, so they decided to build a grand new Royal Exchange, and they found the perfect spot opposite of St. Giles Cathedral. There was just one small problem. The streets of houses which were already there. But rather than knocking these houses down completely, they took the top floors off and used the lower floors as a foundation for the exchange. Mary King's Close was covered over and swallowed up into the basement of the Royal Exchange. The sloping ground meant that the houses fronting onto the Royal Mile were destroyed. But further down the close, whole houses were buried intact. Even though it was buried underground, the close wasn't totally abandoned. Some residents didn't want to leave and carried on running their business in this strange half-buried world. So you could head underground to buy your tobacco or get a wig made. Sawmakers, the Chancy family, were the Close's last residents. They hung on in there until 1902, when they were finally forced out as the Royal Exchange Building, now used as the city chambers, was extended and the last of the Close was sealed up. So that was the last little bit of it. So in between this happening in the 17th century and the Chancy family leaving in 1902, people were still using all of these alleyways and like underground passages to do a lot of shady shit. Like there was a lot of murders that happened down there. There was a lot of bodies that were found down there. And that's on top of like, you know, all the people that died of plague there.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of ghost stories that have come out of Mary King's Close. The saddest one is a little girl named Annie, who is believed to have died of the plague, and it's believed that she was abandoned by her parents in the Close when she had become infected. In the 90s, a Japanese psychic went to the Close with a team to do an investigation. Almost as soon as they got there, they started speaking with Annie. They described her as looking like she was about 8, with dirty clothes and a tear-stained face. Oh. Annie, yeah, I know, it makes my heart sad. So Annie told the psychic that she was sad because she lost her favorite doll, and the psychic then left, bought a doll, and brought it back to Annie. And it's now custom for people to bring Annie dolls and toys, and it said that when people see her now, she's happy.
That's something.
Yeah. And I also found out that most of the dolls and toys that are donated to Annie later get donated to children in need. So whenever they get like a giant pile, like they'll take some of them, if not most of them, and go give them kids in need. And the reason why it says that, like, when people see her nowadays is because they've reopened Mary King's Close, and now they give guided tours, and, like, people dress up in costume and, like, go around telling you about the people that lived there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go and do that. And I actually found out today that my friend Travis is currently in Edinburgh, and I don't know if he saw it because he posted a picture and he was like, oh, Edinburgh. And I was like, you have to go to Mary King's Close and you have to take Annie a doll for me.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
Like, you're there.
Exactly. So some of the things that, like, I'm not going to get into the spookiness of it like I would want to, because I still got work tomorrow, guys, and I'm sleepy. Might be able to go, I don't know. But, so people have reported walking by rooms and seeing piles of dead bodies in them, only to do a double take and see nothing. They've seen severed, infected arms, and, like, different body parts that were, I guess, cut off in hopes to get rid of the plague that was in them. Disembodied heads, and there's been EMPs full of creepy things, like, you must leave here, and keep them here, and David, you cunt. And there you have it, Mary King's Close, the end. David, you cunt.
Well, that was definitely interesting, and way more interesting than whenever I had to learn about the plague in school.
So essentially what I wanted to do, I wanted to talk about Mary King's Close, and like right next to it is a place called Nore's Loch, which was a part of Edinburgh at the time. I'll just do a quick story on that because I didn't do as much as I wanted to. But so Nore's Loch, which I will have to go back and get, like, it's called Nore Loch. So Loch is basically just a man-made lake. And whenever Edinburgh was being built, like, they had this giant wall around the entire city. But they basically, on the back end of it, they made this giant lake to keep intruders out, or, like, you know, opposing armies, which is all fine and dandy, except for, you know, in the wintertime when it would freeze over and they would just walk across it. but do you know about the Scottish and the witch trials?
I don't think I do.
Oh, honey.
About the Scottish witch trials?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm calling dibs on that for a future episode.
All right.
Because I have some shit to tell you. But basically, they took Salem and they knocked it up to 11.
Oh, great.
But, so during the witch trial, like, they were way worse than we were about the witch trials.
That's a lot.
But, yeah, they would do witch tests on women, mostly, in the lock. And you know how the water tests work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you float, you're a witch and you die, or if you die, you die.
Yeah, if you sink, you weren't a witch, but now you're dead, so.
Yep, and then.
You die either way.
Yeah, it's just, basically, if someone calls you a witch back then, it was horrible, but, like, now you're like, oh my god, thank you.
You're like, I am.
Hashtag not lying. But, yeah, there is some other, like, really fucked up shit that happened there. Like, there was one guy that was having an incestuous relationship with his sisters, I think. I'm doing this all from memory. But, yeah, he was essentially raping them, and then whenever it was found out, they not only sentenced him to death, but his sisters. And the way that they killed them was they put all three of them in a trunk and threw them in the lock.
Oh.
And everyone was like, oh yeah, that's just a story or whatever, but I don't remember what year it was, but they found the trunk.
Oh.
So, that was a thing.
So, it really happened.
Yeah, it did. But anyway, guys, I think I'm done rambling. My throat hurts. But my sources this week is episode 146 of Morbid. It's Mary King's Close / Norlock. I also got information from wonderingcrystals.com, introducingedinburgh.com, ontheloose.com, theculturetrip.com, and Wikipedia.
Do you know why your throat hurts?
Yes, because I was driving through Nashville traffic, and the only reason why I could kind of deal with it was that I put on musicals and belted them at the top of my lungs.
I was just going to say, because your throat's not moist enough, you should get some water or tea.
Amanda! I will drink my tea, but just know that I do it in protest. You nasty. I thought you hated this word.
I really do hate this word, but I'm just having fun with it. I'm rolling with it tonight.
Good. All right, guys. Well, we're about to take a break, but before we do that, I would like to take the time to say hello to our new friends at the Homicide Worldwide podcast. They are definitely a show I would recommend to y'all. I think I've only been listening for a few days. They have like 39 episodes in the repertoire. And I'm on, like, episode 12. So I'm catching up.
They like Buffy, so.
They do.
And it's for friends.
Yes. So anyway, but yeah. They cover homicides, obviously. And I've really been enjoying it. Also, they're friends with Nerd It Through the Grapevine. So.
You know.
Yeah. Now we just got to get Haunter listening to them, and that's all three of us.
A trifecta, really.
But you guys should go and listen to them because they're super flippin' awesome. And you should tell them I said to say hi and that we should exchange emails and hang out right now.
Yeah. We're cool. We swear.
I do swear. I say fuck a lot.
You also taught me a cuss word in a foreign language earlier.
I did. So. But anyway. I'm gonna get off here for right now. All right. Please hold on for this quick processing break. Bye! And welcome back from our processing break. Thank you so much for hanging out there, even though that was a really awkward transition out. It happens. It do be like that.
It happens sometimes, but it's alright.
But anyway, guys, it is now Manda's turn to tell us a moist story. I'm a little salty. A little salty. I wasn't expecting you to hit me. Like, Manda. It's just mean.
Now you gotta bring it back.
I'm not good at that. I'm not good at the plotting.
Well, I just moistened up my own throat by getting some water before I jumped into mine this week. Never saying this word again.
Uh-huh.
This and the word wriggle. I hate both of those words. Wriggle? So much. Yes.
Good to know.
Such a gross sounding word.
Forgetting I have the hat.
Damn it. And we need ideas for it, don't we?
Yes, we do. Anyway, tell me a story, friend.
Well, now I don't wanna.
What's your bad? That's what the whole fucking podcast is about.
No. So we're going to revisit some creepypasta.
What?
We haven't done it. Is it a creepypasta? We don't know.
We haven't done a creepypasta in a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So I was like, let's revisit that. Granted, this isn't just reading a creepypasta. This is compiled from basically the micro universe that this creepypasta is from. So, I'm just going to jump into it because I don't have a segue either. I'm having trouble with segues.
Segues are hard.
They're very hard. I'm not very good at them either.
So, let's... You know what? Let's... What is it? I've been listening to a lot of And This Is Why We Drink. And the way that they segue into it is like, you know what? Let's crack into it.
Yeah, let's crack this open.
Yeah.
The smell of an old, moist, musty carpet. Yellow peeling wallpaper. Buzzing, blinking, fluorescent lights. Large, empty rooms that seem to span forever. An eerie feeling of aloneness. Any of this sound familiar? If it does, you just might have, unfortunately, found yourself in the back rooms. What are the back rooms, you may ask? Have you heard of them?
Have you ever seen The Matrix Reloaded?
I don't think I've seen Reloaded, no.
Okay. Whichever one has the creepy vampire thingies, and then there's, like, that really cute little Asian man, like, the key maker, and then he makes the keys, and he can, like, he basically opens the back doors to all of the computers in the Matrix, and that's what I assume the back rooms would be. But anyway, not in the context of what you are talking about.
Well, the back rooms, in this context, are described as an uncomfortable liminal space made up of empty, decaying, strange rooms.
Oh, no, thank you.
So, yeah, like a liminal space, if you listeners are not familiar, it's just kind of a room that when you go in, you almost get like this uncomfortable sort of melancholy feeling.
Like the dentist waiting room.
Yeah, like a dentist waiting room, or think of like a dead mall, or like, I don't know, like an empty pool hall. Like, those can be described as liminal spaces.
I feel...
They're just uncomfortable.
Like, it would smell... Like, did you ever have to go to Sears and get, like, portraits made?
No, but I did work in an Olin Mills portrait studio.
You know the smell, then.
My first job. And I know exactly the smell you're referring to. Of musty carpets.
Yep. It's like...
And mold.
Way too many kids that have had accidents. Trying to get that one perfect shot. Yeah. No, I know the exact smell you're talking about now.
Yep. I used to... when I was a photographer there, I didn't even get the good front studio room that was open to the waiting room. Mine was in the back with a closed door, and it was tiny and so musty in there.
Wait, did you work at Olin Mills Kids?
Well, it was just called Olin Mills when I worked there, but I did photograph the kids mainly.
But it was the one that was over there next to Kmart?
Yes, that's where I worked. That was my first job at 17.
So, fun fact, I had to go there every year for my birthday to get photos done.
I'm so sorry.
Every year. Until I was 18. And literally, that, like, my mom still wanted me to go. And I was like, ha, no. And then they closed.
Métis, no.
And I danced. So, anyway, going on.
Anyway, back to the back rooms. But yeah, that was a nice tangent. Because that does describe very well, though, what I would imagine the back rooms would smell like.
Yep.
So, how do you get there? It's not really a getting there. It happens when you do something the backrooms community likes to refer to as no clipping through a wall, basically, assuming from a previous episode that we've done that life is in fact a simulation. We can also assume that we could potentially glitch or clip through a wall and out of our reality. No clipping is just a term used in video games, well, technically, not to be super nerd here, technically the term is just clipping through.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a term used in video games. Normally in a game, things like the ground, walls, buildings, etc. have something called collision, which allows your character in the game to not pass or clip through the object, or clip the ground, thus falling under the map of the game into the void.
Yeah.
So yeah, if your game character, or yourself, is clipping through solid objects, then you've got a problem. So that's basically how people are ending up falling into the back rooms. They're going about their day-to-day, only to clip through a wall by mistake and stumble into one of these moist, mildew-smelling, abandoned-looking rooms.
I don't like it.
Yeah. One of the stories I read was a woman, she was sitting in a waiting room, actually. I can't remember if it was a dentist or a doctor.
Probably a dentist.
And she just kind of leaned back in her chair, just waiting, and her chair just teetered, and she clipped through the wall. And then she was stuck.
She was stuck in the wall?
Well, she was stuck in the back rooms. Oh, okay. She clipped through the wall, but she couldn't clip back out, which does happen a lot in video games. If you clip through something,
a lot of times,
yeah, the collision on the other side isn't going to work, and you're going to hit that invisible barrier and be stuck. You're not going to be able to just walk back out of the wall you accidentally ran into,
mm-hmm,
that you shouldn't have been able to run into. So according to some accounts of the few that do make it out, because apparently if you're in there, you're probably not going to make it out.
Oh, shit.
You got to keep moving, or else you risk running into the many entities that apparently live in the back rooms. There's entities such as hounds, which are not anything what you would think they are. They are naked humanoid entities with shaggy black hair on their heads and oversized mouths full of jagged, sharp teeth. They have long bony limbs and sharp claws and crawl around on all fours. Facelings, skin stealers, howlers, and the list goes on. If you can outlive and outrun them, there's a slim chance that you may find the true end of the maze that is the back rooms and be able to clip back into reality. There are allegedly thousands of levels of the back rooms, however, so finding the exit may prove to be near impossible. Each level is a different style of room or area, but one thing they generally have in common is that nasty, moist, moldy scent of old carpets or mildew, and that uncomfortable feeling one might get when you've wandered into an empty space, but you don't feel like you're alone. So there's like a ton of different creepypasta like accounts,
mm-hmm,
recounting their time spent in the back rooms and how they managed to escape. Apparently, though, if you're in there, there's a very, very slim chance that you're going to find the true exit, because some people have said that there is a room that kind of looks like an old abandoned library is one of the back rooms.
Ooh. I mean, I wouldn't mind spending like 4 hours there.
Yeah. I don't know. But it has a sign, kind of like an exit sign, that basically is like, well, this is the end, this is the exit to the back rooms, you would presume. And there's a computer in there, and you basically have to figure out a program in order to fix the code or something, I guess, to get out. That's getting more into Matrix-y type stuff I don't really completely understand. But a lot of people say that that's, like, not the best, like, don't hold out hope that you're gonna get out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are some weirdos that are, like, kind of like the people that want to be abducted. They're like, no, I want to go into the back rooms and explore. I want to encounter all of these terrible entities. And so they actually have, there's a wiki on the back rooms of things you should prepare to take with you upon entering the back rooms.
Why would such they have as, that?
Because some people like danger too much, I guess. But it's basic things like a sleeping bag or a bedroll, water, and some food. Though apparently thirst and hunger works different there. Where you can go a whole lot longer without food and water. Because I guess time is different in the back rooms than it is in the front rooms or what our reality is. I guess. There's a whole rabbit hole you can dive down. The list of entities is just crazy. There's apparently one thing I read is if you find a window in the back rooms, you probably shouldn't go to it because it's not an actual fucking window. It's like a mimic, basically. Or there will be an entity on the other side of the window that will come through and get you. Like, there, it's not... A window is not an exit to get out.
Okay.
More or less.
So, it's not like if there's a fire. So, like with a fire, it's like you find a door, and if the door doesn't work, you get a window.
Pretty much. And basically, like, all of the rooms, like, I don't know, there's so many, and people are constantly adding more as they, you know, discover them. But they all are that same... they're different, but they're all kind of just uncomfortably empty and creepy.
Yeah.
Other than the entities that might be in there, and just they urge you just to stay the F away from them. There is one entity, though, I read about that's a cat. And the cat apparently, sometimes if it's feeling nice, it will lead you to a true exit, and it just hangs out there to kind of help guide people out. It's not super likely you'll run into this cat, but if you do, I forget what they said its name was, but it might help you actually escape back into reality. So yeah, don't go falling into the void. Don't go clipping through walls, people, because it's not going to bode well for you, assuming life is a simulation, which we have already talked about.
What was the face things again?
Yeah, so there's something called facelings and skin stealers.
The skin stealer. Like, I...
Yeah, so the skin stealers basically are, like, they just kind of look like meat sacks a little bit. A little Frankenstein-y stitched up because they're wearing other people's skin that presumably have, perished in the back rooms or been killed.
Thanks. I hate it.
And the facelings, I can't remember exactly what it said that they were, but I don't like the name of them, and it sounds like a terrifying thing that I would probably want to stay away from.
I feel like since it has the ling in there that it's small, so I feel like I could punt it.
You might could. Maybe. Might be all right.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that's all I have to say about the back rooms. I just love delving into a good creepypasta universe sometimes. I love it when it's not just one story and it's like people collectively have created an entire universe of spooky things. But again, if we're in a simulation, you could fall into a moist back room.
I just keep smelling the Olin Mills now.
Yeah, me too. The smell, it kind of sticks in your nose. It lingers.
Yep.
And it's... just everybody knows what that smells like.
Yeah. I suppose. It's awful. I hate it. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. My sources are from creepypasta.com. I believe it's .com. I didn't write that one down for some reason, but Also backrooms.fandom.com/wiki/backrooms_wiki. It's the backrooms wiki. There's a wiki for it. So
yeah.
And it's got all of the information.
And as always, our sources will be in this description.
Yes, we always list our sources.
Uh-huh. Which that might be changing to somewhere else where you'll have to go and find it, but it will still be listed.
But yes.
We're going to work on that when I have more spoons. But anyway, friend, do you want to just go ahead and tell them what our next episode is?
So yes, our next episode is going to be Succubus.
And so we really need people to send us ideas for the hat, because otherwise I'm going to start coming up with things, and I'm not sleeping right now, and I'm basically just running on spite and caffeine. So
if you guys don't send in things for the hat, she's probably going to put wriggle in there, and then that's a word we're going to have to listen to the whole time, but she might put it in there anyway.
Oh, I'm going to put it in there. It's going to be great.
Well, I'm kind of excited to draw it.
But
I'm not, but I am.
But if you have your own stories to tell or ideas for the hat, go ahead and hit us up at nightmaretown18@gmail.com, over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all of those things. You can find our link tree, which has all of the ways to get a hold of us. If you were feeling generous and you wanted to go and give us some monies, you can do that at our Patreon, or you could just hand it to me in person. It's whatever. I believe we'll that is
donations.
Yeah, yeah. If you wanted to get me some skeletons, that's cool too. I'm just saying, I really want them. Also, that's a joke, you guys. We don't ever feel like we're... I feel awkward every time I'm like, hey, you guys want to give us money? But if you wanted to get some super awesome merch with our stuff on, which you guys can't see it, but I'm currently wearing a Nightmare Town tank top. And it's amazing.
It looks lovely and very comfortable. And
it is so soft.
The graphic on it came out very nice.
It did. And it makes my boobs look even better. Just saying. But
if you want to wear us on your boobs.
Yeah. You can. I don't actually remember what that link is called, but it will be down in the description as well, because it's long. And let's see. Is that all the things?
Oh. I believe that's it. Right?
Another thing, if you guys didn't want to give us money, which again, totally okay. Don't have to do that. Please do or don't. I don't care.
We're a free podcast for a reason.
Exactly. But if no matter where you're like listening to us on, if it's like Apple Podcast or iTunes, I think are the same thing, or Spotify, if you could give us like 5 stars or anything other than 1 star, which is that one guy named Cloak and Dagger who said we were stupid, and that's right, I read that motherfucker and I will find you. But still salty about it.
We didn't forget about it.
I didn't, Cloak and Dagger, because you don't even have any originality to come up with a better name. Anyway, if you guys would like to give us like some stars or a thumbs up and a review.
Yeah, just give us a quick review, or yeah, just click the stars. It does help us a lot, and it helps other people find us.
Because then we get into people's algorithms.
Yes, always fighting the algorithms. It's a hard word to say.
Algorithm. It is.
Algorithm.
I'm not even drinking this episode, and I sound like I'm drunk.
What the heck? Overexertion will do that.
Yeah. Anyway, guys. Well, I'm gonna let you go.
Southern goodbye.
Anyway,
until next time.
Tell us a story. Bye.
Bye.